We're starting a new series titled Church on Fire. It's going to cover about 7 weeks. It's by Fred Hartley. There's a video series, and during the week, people are going to meet in small groups to cycle through this series. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about prayer. If you want to improve your prayer life, you want to be a part of the series. We'll be talking about it Sunday morning, but then during the week, there'll be breakout groups, and you can talk with Bjorg or whoever after the service and become a part of it. But he calls it Church on Fire. Let me explain it. In the Bible, God is often associated with fire. It represents who he is. For example, when Moses heard God's voice in the burning bush, the bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. It was God's presence. We find that when Solomon literally dedicated the temple, he had a prayer, and then fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. The children of Israel journeyed through the desert, and they had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. We find that in the book of Hebrews, the author says that God is a consuming fire. When the people stood before Mount Sinai and God appeared to Moses on the mountain, it says there was a fire over. So God has a consuming fire presence that purifies, and he just changes us. Now, why does he call it Church on Fire? Fred Hartley says when individuals and churches pray in a way that they ask for God's fire, his presence to show up, it changes everything. So he calls it Church on Fire. Now, we may never see a visible fire in answer to our prayers, but let me share with you what it is in your notes. It's the big idea of the entire series. When you and I pray, God's presence shows up to release his favor, his power, and his deliverance. You could call that fire. In other words, when you and I learn to pray and spend time in God's presence, what happens is he releases something and his presence shows up and does something for us which we cannot do for ourselves. So here's the title of today's message. What can prayer do for you? When you leave here in another half an hour, I will hope that you leave here with some ideas of how to be a better prayer. That's the whole mission of today's message. It's the purpose and even the entire series. What can prayer do for you? Now, our text this morning is about a guy by the name of Elijah. How many has heard of Elijah before? A lot of people. Let me tell you the backstory. The land has gone through three years of drought. It hasn't rained. The king is Ahab. He's a wicked ruler. His wife is Jezebel. You've heard of her? They're both not really good people. Elijah is God's prophet for that season of life. And they have a conflict. They have a meeting. They come together. And all of a sudden, a showdown is set up. And so we're going to look at the life of Elijah and how he dealt with certain things and how fire was received when he prayed. So we're talking about Elijah today, about what prayer can do for you. So I want to share four simple thoughts from this story of what happened to Elijah and how it applies to our life. So take your sermon listening guide and let's get started. Number one, Elijah had someone opposing him in life. He had opposition in his life. Now, you may be here today and you have a person or people or circumstances that are opposing you. It's like active resistance. It's just there. You don't want it, but it is. Elijah had oppositions from King Ahab. King Ahab was the earthly ruler. Elijah was the guy connected vertically with God, and the two clashed. As a matter of fact, Ahab would rather have just done away with Elijah, wanted him killed or dead. And so there's this opposition tension going on in their lives. Now, let me just say this at the outset. It's a setup for God to reveal his power, his deliverance, his fire in your life. So let's kind of walk through this a little bit more. Read with me the first two paragraphs in your notes. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals." Baal was a false prophet. And he reigned over agriculture, and because of the drought, the people were trying to get Baal to come through and provide rain so that their crops would survive or could grow. But here's what happened. Ahab tells Elijah he's a troublemaker. Have you ever had anybody step into your life and put a negative label on you? Apparently so, huh? The point is, Ahab calls Elijah a troubler of Israel. There's tension mounting. So Elijah flips it back around and he says, "I have not made trouble for Israel, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands." You know who can give you the worst trouble in life? People that have different value systems than you do. People that aren't following God. They have no inner compass or boundaries of respect. And so trouble can come from anybody, including fellow believers, but the worst of the worst is probably for people who don't have a sense of God-mindedness in their life. Elijah said, trouble is really coming from you, Ahab, because you're leading the people in a way that just does not honor God. There's conflict. There's a sense of opposition going on. Now, in the book of Isaiah, there's this amazing verse tucked away. It's in your notes. Let's read it together. "No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication for me, declares the Lord." Let me paraphrase it. If you are following God the best you can, and you're obedient to walking through life, just having him on the radar of your life, and you want to honor him, here's what God says. "There will be no weapon formed against you that I cannot and will not refute." Anybody who accuses you, I want you to know something. I can overcome that. I can defeat that. And he goes on to say this. He says, it's a vindication from me. God is on side of the person who follows him as Elijah was, and he will vindicate us in the face of opposition. You may be in that place right now. You know what the secret is? Get on board with God, follow him the best you can, and say, you know what? Nothing anybody says or accuses me of, or any weapon forged against me, will prevail. Here's a quote. "You will face your greatest opposition when you are closest to your biggest miracle." It's true, isn't it? The closer you are to victory, the greater the fight might be and the opposition that's rising against us. That's what was happening with Elijah. It was a setup for God to show his vindicating power. Okay, point number two. Elijah got his strategy on what to do next through prayer. Let me explain that. He didn't know what to do, but God showed him the next step. You may be here this morning, and you have a decision to make in some area. Could be in relationships, could be about your job, could be about a career move, all kinds of things. You know where you get your next step? Through prayer, and let God lead you and guide you one step at a time. You won't get the whole journey, the whole map, but you will get the next step. So read with me the first two paragraphs under point number two. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Let's read the next verse. "Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Here's what happened. God gave Elijah a plan, step by step. And he said to Ahab, "Go get all the prophets of Baal, 450 of them. The prophets of Asherah," he was a fertility goddess that they worshiped, another false god. "Go get them. And here's what I want you to do. We're going to get two bulls. You get one, I get one. You build a sacrifice to your gods. Put wood on it, whatever you want. It's yours. I will do the same thing. I'm going to take my bull. I'm going to cut it up. I'm going to put wood on it. And here's the contest. You call on your God. I'll call on my God. And whoever answers by fire, he is God." So the prophets of Baal did that. They took their bull, made it a sacrifice, and they started to call out to Baal. Nothing happened. They continued doing it. Nothing happened. They continued to cry out. Nothing happened. Elijah then said, "Okay, it's my turn." And here's what Elijah did. He took the bull as a sacrifice. He got 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, put it in the sacrifice. There was wood on it, and so it was ready to go. And then he said this. He said to the servant, "Go get me some water. I want you to pour water on top of my sacrifice." Now, in the human logic, if you want something to burn by fire, you usually wouldn't pour water on top of it. But here's what he said. Do it a second time. Do it a third time. So his offering and sacrifice was drenched with water. Now, here's what happened. It's in your notes. Let's read that last paragraph. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." I want you to circle three words. At your command. You know how Elijah came up with this plan of calling the prophets of Baal and the sacrifices, one for each team? You know how he did that? God gave him a strategy of how to go about it. Now, I want us to stop right here. You may be in the middle of something in life and you don't know what to do. You just don't know to go to the right or to the left. You're stumped. You know what the secret is? You literally ask God through prayer to show you the next step. And that's what Elijah did. God gave him the plan, put it in his heart, and he followed everything at God's command. Now, I'm going to show you some pictures. Here's the first one. You've seen this before. It's a church. There's an upper room and there's a lower room. The upper room is where we meet with God. You know what he does? He shows us the next step in life. The lower room, the steps go down, is where you live it out. We spend most of our time in the lower room, correct? I mean, that's just where we do life. Here's the secret. If you and I are willing to go to the upper room, you and God, it's called prayer. It's called abiding in his presence. And listen, read his word, say, God, I need your help. Let me tell you, he shows you in the upper room what he wants you to do in the lower room. And so Elijah got his strategy because he was in the upper room. Now here's another picture or another slide. You receive in the upper room what God wants for you to live out in the lower room. That's the simple principle. You receive it up here and you live it out down here. And that's how Elijah got to the place of building, or he had two altars, one for them, one for himself, and God answered by fire. Here's the last one. This is our theme for 2025 in the life of the church. To receive means that you and I have to have an open heart when we go to the upper room of what God would want to do for us in the lower room. So have a heart as you journey through life in God's presence to receive whatever it is that God wants to give you. All right. So number two, Elijah got his strategy on what to do next through prayer. Number three, the third point about this story of prayer that can help us is this. God answered Elijah's prayer with fire. Fire fell and consumed the sacrifice. Read with me these two paragraphs in your notes. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." In this text, fire literally came from heaven and consumed the bull. It consumed the 12 stones. It consumed the wood, and it licked up the water. Three different dousings, and it was all dried up. You and I may not experience literal fire in our life, but here's what it is. It's when God's presence shows up in response to your prayers. You know what he does? He releases favor. He gives you the advantage in life because his favor can rest upon you. He releases his power. He can do something in us that we cannot do for ourselves, and he brings deliverance. That's who he is. He's a delivering God for us. And so the fire fell for Elijah. The same thing can happen for us individually as well as a church if we allow God's fire, his presence, to respond to our prayers. We got to receive it. Our hearts have to be open, and God will do that for us. I want to point out one other thing. The second paragraph, it said, when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate. People are watching your life, and they're looking for fire. They're looking for God at work in your life. I was up at the jail Friday, and I had a surprise comment from one of the inmates. He says, "I've experienced that." I said, "Really?" "Yeah." And he told me his story. He had 13 counts against him. He had 13. They were all lined up, different infractions of the law and so forth. And he said, I just cried out to God. He said, I actually cried. asking God for his help. I mean, the guy was desperate. He said they weren't true. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. And here's what he said happened. He said they lifted and released all 13 accounts. They just went away. And he says, that was amazing. He said, but the favor didn't stop there. It kept going forward. He had a couple fines, about $750 each, and they were lifted as well. So here's a guy. He's an inmate. He's in jail. And he's telling me a story how the fire fell in his life, and God did something for him and that he couldn't do for himself. Listen, the same is true for you and me. If we call out to God and say, God, I need the fire, your presence to bring favor, power, and deliverance in response to my need, he'll do it. He'll show up, and he'll bless us. All right, so here's the last slide under point three. Let the God who answers by fire be God. Just let God be God in your life, and he'll bring a response that will honor him and encourage others. Okay, point number four. And this one I love. Point number four is this. Elijah heard God's plan in advance. This is what it means. God told him something before anybody else. Read with me the couple of paragraphs in your notes. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. The showdown is over. The prophets of Baal, 450 of them, were put to death. I mean, God's man Elijah prevailed. And God came through and answered his prayer in a powerful way. The battle is over, but here's what happened. Elijah, a man of prayer, says this, I hear the sound of heavy rain. Nobody else heard it. He heard it first. He says, rain's coming. He sent his servant to the sea. Look out over the water. What do you see? Servant comes back and says, I don't see anything. Do it again. Came back, I don't see anything. Elijah heard the sound of heavy rain. And he sent him not only six times, but seven times. On the seventh time, the servant comes back and says, you know what? I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. It was rain. Now here's the big lesson. God will show you, or you will hear, heavy rain. And what I'm saying is, he will show you the next step before other people if you're a praying individual. Now, let me apply this to everybody here. You may be a mother or father, and you have kids at home. If you spend time in the upper room, he will show you what's best for your family. He'll show you before anybody else. Maybe you're a leader at your office, or you have a position of, you're a supervisor. If you spend time up there, he will show you before anybody else what's best for the organization. How about if you're a church board member or you're a leader of a ministry? If you spend time in the upper room, you're going to hear the sound of heavy rain before anybody else. Do you realize your idea, anybody in the congregation, might be the next big idea for the entire group? It only takes one God idea to make it happen. Elijah heard the sound of heavy rain. Now here's another part of the story. He didn't give up when the servant came back and said, I don't see it. It took seven times. Don't give up on try number six, because try number seven made a visual reality. You may be here and you've tried and tried. You're believing and believing. It hadn't happened yet. Don't give up. If you've heard the sound of heavy rain and God's given you a promise for something, your kids, your family, your friends, don't give up. It may take seven times. And the servant came back and said, yep, I see a man's hand or a cloud the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. You know, I got to thinking, you know, they said to Elijah or to Ahab, go tell him to hitch up and head on out or he's going to get stopped by the rain. It's kind of like if you knew there was 18 inches of snow coming in the next day and you're talking to somebody and you say, you know what, you need to leave now because if you wait, you're not going to get through. God delights to take people like us, you and me, common, ordinary people. And you know what? If we spend time up here in the upper room, we'll hear the sounds of heavy rain. What am I saying? He'll give you a God idea for your family, for your church, for your community, for your office, and you will hear it first. It's the privilege that every believer has of listening through prayer of what God wants to do. So let me give you a quick summary here. Number one, Elijah had opposition. It was a setup for God to show up. Number two, Elijah got his strategy and what to do next through prayer. If you're here and you're trying to figure out a certain decision, he'll give you one step at a time at your command. You just follow his leading one step at a time. Number three, God answered Elijah's prayer with fire. I mean, this is the moment we're waiting for, living for, that his presence shows up and releases favor, power, and deliverance. Maybe you need that in your life. Stick with it. It will happen because that's who God is. Number four, I love this. After the showdown was over, Elijah heard God's plan in advance of anybody else. Hadn't rained for 3 years. Elijah was the guy. God put it in his heart and said, you know what? I hear the sound of heavy rain. Three concluding slides. Here's the first one. God reveals certain things for you for a reason. Don't ignore what he shows you. Don't ignore it. And the tendency might be to dismiss it or not believe it. It may be bigger than you could do. And you say, how can that happen? Don't ignore it. He's got a blessing for you and wants to use you to bless others. Here's the next one. God has something great in your future. You're here this morning and you took time to come to church. And right now, God's planting an idea, a thought in your heart. He wants to bless you and you and your family, and he's got something great for each of us. Here's the concluding slide. Corrie ten Boom. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? You know what you do with the spare tire? You only use it once in a while. You use it because you have to. You know what you do with the steering wheel? Every day. Prayer is my steering wheel. God's looking for individuals and collections of people, they're called church families, who will spend time in the upper room, listen, get the next strategy step, and then we just believe God that he will release his favor, power, and deliverance at some point, and that we just follow him. And it can be a church or an individual heart that's on fire. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to walk you through some things. I want you to just open your heart to God. Here's the first one. Have you got any opposition in your life? It's called tension and stress, either from other people or circumstances. I want you to look at it differently from this point on. It's a setup. Circumstances are uncomfortable, but it's a setup, part of the ingredients of God about to do something in your life. All right, number two. You're in a tough spot. You don't know what to do. Make a decision today, right now, that you're going to go to the upper room and ask God for the next step. That's it. Say, God, I'm going to make a commitment today that this week, maybe starting tomorrow, you're going to spend time upstairs saying, God, here's my heart. Here's my life. I'll read your word. Speak to me. Direct me. Show me my next step. Number three, when you pray, there will come a time where he will release his favor, his power, and deliverance. Just say, God, I'm going to trust you for that. I need the fire to fall on my life to meet a need or to deliver me from a certain situation. Just claim that as your own. And here's the secret. Receive it right now by faith. Receive it. Believe it and receive it. And number four, let God place in your heart the sound of heavy rain. Whatever that is, you will hear it before anybody else. You know why? You're listening. And God delights to take people who listens to bless families, churches, and communities, and offices. Just say, God, here I am. Drop into my heart that which you want me to hear. Concluding thought. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Make a decision right now. You say, God, I want to do better. I will do better. I want prayer to be the steering wheel of my life. I want to live a life like Elijah. Father, we bow and we just thank you for mercy and grace. Thank you for this series, Church on Fire. Thank you that you want to set each of our hearts on fire. And I pray for this group that we will all make a commitment today, this moment, in this service, to make prayer a more of a priority, to be the steering wheel of life rather than the spare tire of life. I pray for the person here that is deeply struggling with a decision they have to make, that you will show them the next step, whatever that is, that what they are to do, and they'll do the next step after that at your command, which will lead them to a place where the fire will fall, the favor will be released, the power will descend. The deliverance will happen. Lord, just take our lives, 2025. Make it an amazing year because we as a people, as individuals, are willing to spend more time in the upper room. It's in your name we pray. Amen.